Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, O Lord. Amen. Our text for this morning is taken from Gospel according to St. Mark from chapter 10, reading beginning from verse 35. Would you please arise as you read the scripture? And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever would be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you would be a chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life for a ransom for many. Father, these are thy words. Sanctify us in thy truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. In a short time, we will be a little bit older. We will be a little bit closer of our removal. We will have a new address. These disciples of Jesus with Jesus were on a journey. Jesus came with a mission, and that needed to be fulfilled. His disciples did not understand what it entitled. I ask myself, not once but many times, why Jesus chose these 12 to be his disciples. He would most likely elect other kinds of people to bring forth our desires, our vision. When I was in South Carolina serving for a while, filling in before a full-time pastor could take place there at the Eastside Church, I was approached more or less that they are looking, that was sometime after I was ministering, having ministering already, I was approached more or less that a leader should be one who has a vision, who has a goal for people. Some people think the vision to be their vision, what they vision pastor to be, what goals he has, perhaps to establish a mega church. And success would be measured by multitude of people, that in local community, be it small or large, people see, those people have it together. Walking with Jesus, he turns everything upside down. And it is not easily to admit for a proud man that he has a vision. When he speaks of his own death to people that he has selected from the bottom rung, not from the top. And yet we find out whether they be from the top or from the bottom, we all have an ideal what God should be like, what the kingdom of God should be like. Jesus had finished his ministry in Galilee. He was on his way to Jerusalem, going up, as Jews would say. Whoever was going to Jerusalem was going up. Behind were miracles, signs that testified of his greatness. Whether it was feeding the multitude, or whether it was raising a widow's son. He had power. But he exercised his power according to his Father's will. He never took things into his own hands. Disciples had seen everything. They felt secure. And now, perhaps thinking that one day we will be rulers. Example of those that were upset with John and James is that they too had similar desires to be with power, to exercise power, authority over subjects. What comes out from the life of Jesus is tremendous humility, a servanthood. He came not to demand, but to serve. And by likeness and example of his service, that people would come to understand what kingdom of God is all about, what this world so desperately needs, because more we are ruled by people who want to rule. Egotistic spirit. The highest is to be a top ruler, top dog. And then we have aftermath. Constant fighting and struggle. Misuse of trust, funds, extravagant spending, hoarding to make a profit. One of the examples, for instance, of this thought is that the world will hear oftentimes that we have food problem. We don't have so much a food problem as we have hoarding problem, distribution problem, where the hearts of men begin to possess the trusted gifts to themselves. And say they are in command. Why did Jesus take these poor fishermen to be his disciples? Amongst them Matthew, a tax collector, and Judas, the only one from southern kingdom, or the lower part of Judah. He was more or less a guerrilla fighter. He too had ideal how to be a ruler and have his will. And as they were walking to Jerusalem, do not think that Judas was just thinking, being one, he wanted to see success. He had a plan how to bring it forth, perhaps twisting the hand of Jesus that he has to do something that he desired. None of them understood, as earlier verses that I did not read indicate the purpose of Jesus, why he was going to Jerusalem. They were going, and Jesus is telling them why they are going the last time now to Jerusalem. And they became afraid. Early already there was a weaning of disciples that were following Jesus. Multitude followed Jesus, and Jesus speaking the truth hurt their feelings. And many thereon followed him no more. They kept their religion, but they did not hold on to the words of life. Whereas these 12, they were still with Jesus, though weak. How can we understand that in midst of all this that was past, Peter, for instance, the upper part of the Lake Galilee, when Jesus was speaking of the shameful things that he was facing, that Peter, as a gentleman, would take Jesus apart and talk to him privately, that this is not the way man should talk. As to say, you have all the power not to be subject to such a shameful handling. It was another man he was subdued to such an advice, save one's life. But that was not the mission of Jesus. And he saw the danger just as much as the devil when he tempted Jesus after Jesus being so hungry in the desert. Peter had goodwill. He thought he had a master plan. But Jesus turned that upside down. Peter, you like a devil, have a plan of darkness. It will not bring peace to human heart. It will not forgive any sin. And there is no forgiveness period unless that which was shadowed from the Old Testament would be fulfilled in a sacrifice that God himself provides. And that is in pure blood of Jesus. It has to be shed. He will give his life willingly. No hand will force him to do that. He simply is obedient unto death, to the will of his Father. There was Peter from behind, and perhaps a little bit shameful following Jesus with others. And now we come to this part. When they are on their way, they're in Berea, which is east side of Jordan Valley, occupied by many Jews, but preferred way for Jews to travel lest they go through Samaria and become contaminated. It is interesting or revealing that amongst disciples, even before Jesus had reprimanded, for instance, John and James, when they were in Samaria, and Samaritans did not provide service to Jesus and his disciples and others that were there with them. Do you want us to call fire from heaven and destroy them? And Jesus simply said that you don't know the spirit that is in you. A power is simply, it will conquer and cause submission. It is much like Islam today. You either say what we want you to say or you lose your head. No ifs and buts about it. It is a little bit like Martin Luther before the Diet of Worms. Are these your books? And if you say yes, do you recant what you have written? If not, you are a marked man. You are an open prey. Whoever will catch you can do so without any penalty. So these people walking towards Jerusalem, Jesus sees another temptation. Disciples do not understand that there's anything wrong asking the right or left position by the throne in glory. But Jesus sees the temptation. You want to rule with the spirit that is not broken. You want to be independent from the will of God, to care for the orphans and widows. You want to gain prestige by office you have. But what he does it kindly, because he knows what is in the man. And he has chosen these 12, or actually Father had given them to Jesus, to invest his life and his vision to these men that were just as selfish as those that were in Jerusalem as rulers. It is simply looking at the coin from two different sides. Oftentimes those that gain rank from a lower rank are impossible rulers. They become dictators. It goes to their head like strong drink. Not to be on a political line, but allow me to say nevertheless, with a prayer for our president, it is power misused when our president says, but I have a phone and a pen. So many politicians, as before, it is an ego trip to be seen and to be heard and to be obeyed. And we can't become obedient for fear of death or losing possessions. But our spirit groans. We rather follow a leader who knows the way and who has the words of life. These two come to Jesus. Sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and the other on the left hand in thy glory. Little kingdom, 12 men beside the leader, and two of the closest one with the Peter already before, are struggling for the prime position with Jesus. And Jesus sees division. House divided cannot stand. In midst of these words, I think of revival movement to which we belong, from the northern Sweden, Norway, and Finland, where God mightily used a man named Lars Levi Lestadius. Poor, yet highly educated man who saw deeper than an average man is able to see. The problem of human heart, including his own. The revival movement that went south, east, and all the way to land of America started with simple need of forgiveness, simple understanding. we are in this together. Fighting against drunkenness, thievery, and adultery, and all other vices that were so present, though the land was poor. Today, this revival movement has at least 15 different branches, and some are on one another's throat. Our daughter, being young, had a friend. And when they grew up a little bit older, parents of the other church belonged to our background would say, "We don't want our daughter to be a playmate with your daughter anymore." And the reason is, we belong to a group that's called worldly. And other side, our side, so to speak, is not less powerful in words. Yes, you're bond runners. Ugly words, learned in childhood and carried on in church, or churches in the spirit which people harbor. And behind that, in midst of humility, oftentimes is nothing but pride. We are better than you. And to be on the top, you have power to rule. But Jesus has another way. And he takes his disciples to that way. My way to greatness is what lies before us. And how you take that into your heart matters very much how the ruling will be done from above, who will be on the left and who will be on the right. My kingdom is not who is first. My kingdom very purpose is that greatest is he who serves. And it has to be from the willing spirit. Joy in midst of giving instead of commanding. What tremendous ego trip it is when things are done by command. An army, for an instance, will not function unless there would be such spirit. But with Jesus, it is different. He says, his teachings meekly and lowly. You want to be great? Follow me. I will take you to a place where you will be despised and where every word you say will be misinterpreted. You will be looked as an enemy because you destroy this order of society by speaking the truth. Years ago, I remember seeing on a television when a politician just freshly elected was standing there on the steps of the Capitol building, was asked by a reporter, would anyone be elected to this office if he would tell the truth? And this man, though newly elected, would say no. People don't love the truth. It's too costly. But isn't this wonderful when you consider it? And when you tell truth to man who is truth, you will be set free. Because he takes even that ego away that you want to be follower of Jesus instead of commanding him what to do. Jesus teaches them, mild and meek that he is, yet he has so much salt. When 10 disciples that were not really directly asking. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. And it is at this point that Jesus takes them aside. You all are alike. Why are you really following me? Is it because you look forward to rewards, what the office will bring? Or is it because of the mission that I will take and you will take also? And with the greatest joy is not only that you're saved, that your names are written in heaven, but you have a mission that others might be saved. And we are not in a salvation business by commanding or forcing. A thought comes to me of Walter Weisenen, an old-timer way over 80 who used to attend our Bible camps, camp gatherings, and he had a hearing aid, a large, rather large box on his chest, hanging there with a rope or a tie and an earplug. And he told in our little gathering once that he was at home, and a father asked son, why don't you go and mow the lawn? And Walter had kind of answered, yes, when I have time. And there was a pause, if I remember right. The father didn't say any more. When he came downstairs, the father met him on the bottom of the steps. And he was crying. Son, what has happened to you? Is it hard to serve and fulfill your father's desire? As to say, you want to be a boss. But by this attitude, our home will be divided. In modern time, people travel long distances to be fed, to be edified by gifted people. Some of it is good, some of it is not. Being of the age, I am not by any means oldest of this congregation, but I understand more fully. Our age increases. The problems don't necessarily go away, but God's grace becomes sweeter. It is so enriching. Not always to be away, to be fed, but to be in touch of one whom Lord has given next to you. Ritva and I, by grace of God, were able to go to state of Washington, there in a city of Washington next to Portland, to see Marty and Wendy and their three foster children, and I may say three dogs in a small house. To see a little bit of a chaotic touch of life. But what it meant to cry, meeting after a couple of years. And what it meant again to say goodbyes. Listen, my Christian friends, the richest blessings are close to us, but oftentimes we don't see them because our heart is seeking something else. You are rich when you have someone to put your arms around. You are rich when you hear in your ears, I love you. You are rich when you hear your mate say, I thank God for you. You are the bestest. And perhaps to God, the richest is when he hears us to say, even to strangers, even to those that rub us the wrong way, how can I serve you? The congregation in which we are and belong to is God's blessing to us. We are here a little while. Already we are a few minutes older. But do not walk by someone thinking it doesn't matter. It matters very much that you are known by name and that you loved. Jesus simply says, but Jesus called them to him and said unto them, ye know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Otherwise, it is a demanding authority. Jesus does not rule from behind. He walks before his flock. There is no command that you must. It's like Martin Luther teaching his students and talking about grace, how it is freely given. Why, of course, payment has been paid by the blood of Jesus. But even so, that you can do whatever you want to do. And the students would answer, well, what kind of world that be, more or less, my own thoughts here, if everybody can do what they want to do? Isn't this what it is in a society of lawlessness? But then he added, but what is it that you want to do? Because Jesus goes this way. And if you go this way, you divide it. What is it that you want to do? Do you want to be a commander? Or do you want to be an example? Like children learn from parents what they catch, what they do. Many parents bring their children to Sunday school and then they take him home without filling the pew. And children learn, God is not that important. What say ye? You say he is important. That's why you are here. That's why I am here. And like Jesus then further says, but so shall it not be among you, but whoever would be great among you shall be your minister, your servant, your angel. Those words are intertwined. And whosoever of you would be the chiefest shall be servant of all. I am chief, and I serve you. By which, if you follow, world can be healed. But if you want to take the seat to command, it will only be split, 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 split. For even the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. kingdom of glory, crowned to be a king on a cross, rejected even by his own disciples, not so much willingly, but out of weakness, out of lack of strength, yet he won the victory. And we know the story, he lives. Talking with the Christian sisters just a little bit after the Bible study this morning, I thank her for talking with me afterwards. But how, in midst of everything, faith grows. And it becomes that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. And may I found to be a servant also, to be a blessing instead of a curse. Where are you? Where am I? I can ask, Lord, give Holy Spirit that I would be more like Jesus, a servant, and to find a blessing while doing it. In Jesus' name, amen.